If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Our WGN Radio and NBC Sports Chicago Bears insider Adam Hogue joins us now to talk about the draft. Adam, most of the experts seem to feel that all seven players the Bears picked filled the need. How would you grade the draft for the Bears?
Yeah, I'm always, good morning, guys. I'm always a little hesitant to grade the players so quickly because the bottom line is no one really knows how these guys are going to adapt to the NFL. That includes the GMs and coaches that draft these kids. But, you know, I always like to look at the process more than anything else. And I like what the Bears did in, you know, this was a deep draft. We knew that, like, in the first two rounds. So to have two second-round picks could really be viewed as, you know, you normally having a first and second rounder in the ability to get two starters out of this thing. And I do like the two guys that the Bears got early in Cole Kmet, the tight end out of Notre Dame, and Jalen Johnson, a cornerback from Utah that Dave and I saw in the Holiday Bowl a couple years ago against Northwestern, who has NFL size and, you know, kind of a sticky cornerback that filled a need that the Bears had open. They needed a starter at cornerback, and I think he can play right away. So in that regard, with those first two picks, I like what the Bears did.
Jalen Johnson played last year with, I believe, a torn labrum, Adam. Is that right? What does it tell the Bears, the fact that he was able to play through it?
Well, I'm sure they liked that he was able to play through it. The concern is that he's had three now, two in the in one shoulder, and then now one in the other. That he didn't even apparently he know about it, or at least didn't get it checked until the season was over this year. So was able to play through it, and I'm sure, you know, his NFL aspirations had something to do with that. But you do. You do sometimes. This is why he was available where the Bears got him in number 50, because he is widely considered to be a first round type of cornerback in the way he plays and just his ability to shut down other teams and would always face the number one wide receiver across the line of scrimmage. So, you know, without the shoulder problems, he would have gone in the first round. So the Bears are taking a chance here that he's going to be able to, you know, kind of play through this problem or not have it happen again. And this gets into what these teams have been dealing with for the past month and a half, not being able to get the full medicals on these guys since the NFL Combine, and not being able to bring these guys into their building and get medical rechecks. So there is kind of a gamble here on Jalen Johnson.
Who's the most intriguing of the seven picks in your mind?
Well, for me, it's Darnell Mooney, and he's a wide receiver from Tulane, who I honestly didn't know much about until Wednesday. I actually got a phone call just kind of doing some last checks on some of these players. You just say, hey, who am I missing? Who am I missing? And someone said, hey, check out this kid from Tulane. And so I did, and, you know, he's small. He one of the draft profiles I read in The Athletic compared his body type to a kicker, which is not always something you want to hear. But you turn on the tape and you see a guy that's just running by everybody and extremely fast and extremely explosive. And then the second I watched him, I said, oh, this looks like somebody that Matt Nagy would like to have in his offense. You know, kind of similar to Tariq Cohen in that I think he'll be kind of a gimmicky player. With the smaller stature, I don't know that he's going to be able to play every snap throughout a whole game. But you know how Matt Nagy likes his toys. And I think Darnell Mooney, this kid out of Tulane, is another toy. And somebody in that regard, you might see on the field week one with Nagy trying to get him the ball 4 to 5 times per game just to see if he can hit a home run with him.
Adam, I read what you wrote on NBCSports.com about the Bears and the quarterback situation. I gather you thought they should have taken a swing, as you termed it, at quarterback.
Yeah, I hope it didn't come off like I felt like they should force it. You know, it's not that I'm upset that the draft is over and they didn't take a swing at a quarterback, but I just think that You know, this was Ryan Pace's sixth draft now, and he's only drafted one quarterback in 6 years, and that's Mitchell Trubisky. And I just think that smart teams are always kind of planning ahead at the quarterback position. And I didn't write that just because the Packers took a swing at a quarterback in the first round, but it is an example of, you know, even teams that have quarterbacks, and the Eagles did the same thing, drafting Jalen Hurts, even though they have Carson Wentz, and Jalen Hurts is was one of the quarterbacks I thought the Bears should look at. And I just think when you look at the doubts with Mitch Trubisky right now and the contract in Nick Foles, which has some outs in it for him, you know, I don't necessarily know that either one of these guys is going to be around 3 or 4 years from now. And I just think sometimes it's smart to plan ahead at the biggest position. Even in the Bears' case, taking a swing at somebody in the sixth round or seventh round, I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, they didn't do that. That's okay. There's a lot of positions of need, and Ryan does like to stick to his draft board and draft the best player available, even in the sixth, seventh round, and I can't fault that. But I do wonder if, you know, somewhere down the road they're going to start regretting the fact that they've only drafted one quarterback in 6 years.
What do you and Dave think is going to happen with Mitch Trubisky's contract when they deal with that next week?
Well, I can't see any way that they pick that fifth-year option up. You know, I guess I understand that they're trying to put off the public, you know, acknowledgement that they're not going to pick it up because it will be a story at the time, I guess. But I think that option would be worth somewhere around $24 million. And here's the thing. If Mitch explodes this year to the point where he's worth that kind of money, you still have other options to keep him around with the franchise tag and things like that. So it just doesn't seem necessary to take that type of risk. That fifth-year option's not guaranteed for it's only guaranteed for injury. But if he were to suffer a catastrophic injury in the middle of the season, and then all of a sudden you're on the hook for that much money for a guy who might not even be able to play next year, it's just not worth the risk to me.
Adam, any notable undrafted free agents aside from Khalil Mack's little brother joining the Bears?
Yeah, that's the big one. You know, today's usually the day that I take a deeper look at some of these undrafted guys because usually the Sunday after the draft, I'm still kind of catching up. Ryan Pace has a habit of drafting some guys from smaller schools that are, you know, like a Lechavius Simmons out of Tennessee State that you never heard of in the seventh round. So I'll take a closer look at the undrafted free agents today. But, Khalil Mack's brother is an interesting story. He wasn't even really a starter at Buffalo. He only started one game, I think, his senior year, but he still managed to lead the team in tackles for loss and forced fumbles. So, you know, he's got to be learning something from his brother. He's not his brother. Let's be clear. He's not Khalil Mack, but it is interesting that they're going to have two Mack brothers on the Chicago Bears.
Adam, did you have a chance to catch the latest episodes of The Last Dance on ESPN last night?
You know it. Yeah, absolutely had to, you know, put the football down for a couple hours and enjoy the I was trying to watch the ESPN, with my son, and I realized really quickly here in the episode 3, it was time to switch over to ESPN2 where it's censored because
right.
the language picked up, but that made it more enjoyable. You know what I love about it is it's just, we don't always get interviews like this where guys are just willing to say whatever they're willing to say. And it seems like, especially in episode 3 and 4, that started to pick up, and now it's really starting to get really good.
Right. Yeah, Dave and I were talking about this earlier, and we were talking about the whole Rodman vacation in Vegas and Michael knocking on the hotel room door and Carmen Electra's in there. But the other thing that I found interesting, I had forgotten a lot about the whole Doug Collins era, and that was pretty cool how they showed how much he was sweating through every game. I didn't remember that, but he definitely put off a lot of energy during the games, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And that's an area that I kind of wish they would have gone into a little more depth on, because it kind of there's Phil on the bus and Phil in the meeting, and then all of a sudden he's introduced as the head coach. And I know there was the one comment where Phil said. Or Doug said to today, yeah, I thought maybe that could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, but he also didn't have a whole lot to say about it.
No.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. Let's see, next week. We get three more Sunday nights of this, don't we?
Yes.
All right.
How about that?
Yeah, we do. And it's a nice escape right now. And I'll just say this real quick. Some people, I think, have criticized how much they've gone back and relived some of, like, the 80s stuff, and because it's supposed to be like a 1998 documentary. But, you know, for me, I grew up with the 90s Bulls, but I don't have great appreciation for what happened in the late 80s because I was so young, and especially the Pistons stuff. You know, like, I know about the Pistons, but I didn't really get to live it until last night. So I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Little history lesson for you youngsters like Adam Hoge.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time this morning, Adam. Always good talking to you.
All right. Have a great day.